You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. You gotta show.
You can't stop it.
I gotta show that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so into you.
I really don't really care.
What?
Next message.
We're still here. Look at my cat.
Get off the cat.
You son of a bitch.
Enjoy it.
ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
Where's that?
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
End of message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Next message.
Got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Seriously, guys. Four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out.
End of message.
You look so good right now, you son of a bitch.
Next message.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Get in touch. We got to talk about it.
Horrible. Give us a call. 646-915-9228.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
That's what it is. Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big.
Real big.
Real big. All right, we are here.
We are here.
We are here.
Where are we? Tell us where we are. Give us a rundown. First off, I want to say it's been a while since we showed, and here we are. We are in, I'm going to say, the most luxurious show we've ever had.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be. What are you doing over there?
I'm just turning you down. Like you're always so loud.
I like this is show mode. I get louder. I get a little bit more pepped up. So tell us where we are, who we're with, and everything that surrounds us.
I think I can handle that. We are on the 7th floor.
Yeah.
In Spanish Harlem.
Spanish Harlem.
On a terrace.
Is that true, guys?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
We're with Jesse and Olgu. They've been married for about 3 years. They're good friends of mine.
All right.
I've actually videotaped their wedding. I videotaped it and I was a guest.
Is there? Let me ask you this question. Is there a wedding that you haven't videotaped?
No. Even if I'm a guest at a wedding, I always videotape.
I know you do.
So, but we're on their lovely, I mean, this is probably
luxurious.
Bigger
like
than
I
most.
Said.
Their terrace, porch, no. Patio is probably bigger than most people's homes.
All right, that's enough. Well,
all right, sorry. We won't gloat. But it does feel nice out
here.
We're
not gloating.
We're not gloating. We have a nice view of the moon and the bridge.
Sure.
And
it's quite beautiful out here.
So I'll give the audience a little bit of a rundown of what we're probably going to talk about. We're going to talk about Turkey because Olgu is a native of Turkey. You are Turkish.
Yeah.
Yes. Turkish.
Turkish. And Jesse is, I think, from Cold Spring, which is upstate. And we're going to get into Cold Spring.
Cold Spring.
We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about yoga. We're going to talk about Pilates. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about love. And hopefully we're gonna come out of here better people than we came in.
We're going to come out of here better people than we came in.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, because we had no traction of what time. So I'm just going to set a stopwatch here so we know how long we've gone.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because this is the first show we've done in a long time without phone calls, without that whole the whole thing. We're doing pre-record.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
It is live, but it's not live.
Well, life is live.
It's true.
But it's not live in your phones. Tell us about your new phone you got. You got a really nice new phone, huh?
I did. I don't want to get too...
All right.
You know, but it's a great phone. I got a new phone. The Galaxy S4.
How do you like it so far?
I like it because it's the camera on it is awesome. It's a 13 megapixel camera. I wanted a camera
so
that was...
So are we at the point where we're buying phones for cameras now?
Yes. Yeah, I bought this phone for the camera.
How many people here talk on their phone? Like on average per day, how long do you talk on your phone?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Not more than 15 minutes, I guess.
It's a talkative group tonight. Okay.
Yeah, real talk. Real talk.
You know.
So 15 minutes a day, which is a lot, I feel.
No. My day-to-day, I talk to Olgu once, usually in the day, and then potentially a family call later, and that's about it. That's the full function of my phone feature.
So what you're saying is that the NSA really only has your phone calls with
Olgu. It has thousands of drop calls to my brother on Sprint.
Oh, yeah. You can't trust Sprint.
So yeah. It looks suspicious.
Yeah,
he's worried about me being a Verizon,
person.
But
I think it's nation. It's more than just one network. When we get into talking about Turkey, I definitely want your opinion on
Turkcell.
You know, like not Turkcell so much, but that would be interesting. But like the one thing that I read a lot about is like how, you know, like obviously America's a melting pot of all these different cultures. And like they come here and they're like, this is what my country was doing. And that's why I left. Hmm. And that's one thing I've been reading a lot as far as like, you know, other nationalities here and talking about it. But we'll get down that road a little later. Give us a little introduction of like who these people are and what they're doing here and all that stuff.
Well, sure. I mean, I figure they would give the. Well, I guess that's our job as hosts to introduce them. Yeah. So we have we have Jesse and Olgu, and Jesse is a web designer, webmaster at CUNY.
Yeah.
So that's the City University of New York, which is different than the State University of New York.
Yes.
Yes.
CUNY and SUNY. So this is just citywide. It's a composium of many different schools, including Baruch and Lehman, York. I can go on and on. There's many campuses. But I work at the Graduate Center, which is the doctoral granting wing of CUNY. So everybody who gets their PhDs and advanced degrees goes to the Graduate Center if you're in the CUNY system for those degrees. So,
gotcha.
I'm studying there as well.
Oh, so you're studying to get your master's.
I'm getting my PhD.
You're getting a PhD. What are you getting it in?
English literature. I'm studying the...
So what does that mean? What can you do with an English literature PhD? First of all, let me ask you this. Can I call you doctor after you get it?
After, yeah.
A doctor of journalism?
No.
No.
English?
Doctor of English.
Literature. Yeah.
Literature.
Yeah. So I'm studying the use of mobile technologies and the teaching of writing. So in English, there's different divisions and areas of study. It can be... I don't want to say the wrong term now because it's changed, but it used to be like gay and lesbian studies, but now it might be
LGBTQ.
It's changed.
Right? LGBTQ.
And no offense to people who are studying it, I've forgotten the acronym.
Sure.
Well, so, yeah,
they're not going to get mad at you. They're going to get mad at us.
Yeah.
One of the other sections of that, one of the other degrees or focus areas in the degree is composition rhetoric, which is a study of teaching of writing. So I'm interested in how we write on our mobile devices, and how they can be used to, as in like place-based learning with geolocation. So now that cell phones are all know where you are all the time, maybe we can use that in a positive way for education. So I'm looking at mobile gaming.
Oh, interesting. So how would you use it in like a positive way? Where would it be used positively, besides like the government saying, okay, we know exactly where you are?
So my dissertation project is on Walt Whitman in Brooklyn Heights. So my mobile project is to create a mobile game based in Brooklyn Heights where you go to different locations and learn about Walt Whitman and also are prompted at various locations specific to Walt Whitman. He was an editor at the Brooklyn Daily Eagle for many years. So that Eagle Warehouse, part of it still stands right by the Brooklyn Pier. So one idea I had was just, you know, get people to these locations, come in contact with maybe even historical remnants of that time in the 19th century, and have cues to write. So I'm very interested in how we can use the devices then to, like, post to Twitter or post to a blog where we start collecting many voices over time, and not just writing, but, like, images and recordings of sound.
Have you thought about like creating an app where it's just like you log on, it knows where you are, and then it just kind of like shows you what is like landmark or something along those lines where you are?
There's
easy.
Sorry. Yeah. First day back on the
first day back.
Seriously. It's my first day.
So there's a mobile platform called Aeris built out of Madison, Wisconsin. And this is a mobile gaming app that basically does that. It knows where you are. It lets you use like a Google Maps type interface, move around the map. And when you get to certain areas, based on your location, it triggers events, which can be anything from a video to an audio sample or something of the sort that you can kind of interact with the space through the mobile app. So it's pretty cool. I'm really excited to investigate this for my dissertation.
Nice.
So for a dissertation, you have to write a paper and then also give an actual presentation as well, right?
The project will be, this is kind of breaking grounds in acceptability at the higher academic levels right now. Digital humanities projects are called. Basically, is using technology in some way in a project for a learning experience. So typically people write a book length written work and submit that. So these kind of projects are just starting to be recognized as valuable for scholarly undertakings. So it'll be kind of a little bit groundbreaking and exciting and fun, but I'll have to both write and produce the project. So in some ways I might end up doing more work than somebody who just wrote straight. Although sure. I don't want to compare. I'm working in my own world.
Yeah, you're thinking of everyone else.
I do it because I love it.
Love it.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I've been using, this is probably not as cool, but Map My Ride, because I've been biking a lot lately.
I don't know about it. Tell
Map
us.
My Ride is, it's basically GPS on your phone, and you put it on there. You can do Map My Run, Map My Walk, Map My whatever.
Yes.
Map My Ride, and so I, put that on there, say, start record, and then I go for my bike ride, and it tells me where I went and how many calories I burnt and how many miles I went, and I was like, cool.
Yeah.
I would love to see a marriage between Map My Ride and Pimp My Ride. No.
How would that be?
I got a good laugh over on this one.
Well, somebody would come in and basically give you like a five wheel bike or something with a TV screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you could chart your course still.
You wouldn't even have to look in the real world. You'd have the monitor right there.
Right there.
We put a 40 inch screen on the back of your bike.
See, he's getting it.
He's getting it. Sorry, I wasn't there.
Where are you?
I don't know. I'm out on the terrace.
Yeah, so all right, we should say that we're out on the terrace. So if you hear a car going by, that's what we're hearing. Yeah. If you hear people screaming in the background,
Spanish Harlem.
It's Spanish Harlem. What are you going to do?
There's people yelling.
And you guys missed it. We just had Puerto Rican Day Parade. And it was off the hook.
I bet.
Air horns filling the air.
Flags waving.
Just last week.
Yeah, flags are waving.
Crazy.
Lots of debauchery.
There's a lot of PR pride up here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There were flags out the windows. It was very nice, but as the day got, we moved into night, things got a little darker.
A little creepier, a little scarier.
Yeah. There's a lot of people and a lot of energy. So.
Yeah. They don't know where to put that energy.
They do. They dance a lot and love music.
They store it all year and get it out in 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if anyone saw it. I saw The Purge the other day, which was all about one day a year you get to kill. Like, everyone gets to kill.
Lawlessness
one day a year. I thought it was worth the watch. However, I felt if this thing really exists, it would not quell violence for the rest of the year. It would create more.
Yeah.
Because if someone went out and killed him on Giggles over here on that day, the Purge day, I wouldn't wait a year to go kill that guy. I'd go kill him the next day.
Yeah, because you got brotherly love. Like
yeah, you
that.
Got brotherly love, and you're not going to just want to wait until next year. You're going to be pissed.
It's true.
But whatever. That's the Purge.
What are you going to do? So let's get into Turkey, because this is a hot topic.
Hot topic.
Olgu is from Turkey. And I'm sure, my questions are probably not going to be the greatest or the most educated, but it seems like it's a different protest. It seems like it's not like the Arab Spring. It's not like the Occupy Wall Street. It's about something maybe a little bit different. And I don't know, because I'm not there and I'm only reading.
I feel like it's founded on that Occupy Wall Street, which is Spain is like that too. And it's all kind of founded on the approach that we're sick of being held down by our government or whatever it's going to be. And, it's not working for us.
Yeah.
So we're going to turn on it. Tell us your perspective on it, since you're from Turkey, and how you feel it.
And if Dave is totally wrong in his assumptions.
No, you could say if I'm wrong.
As far as comparing it with the Arab Spring or other events with the neighbors of Turkey, I cannot compare, because I do not follow news, neither here nor about Turkey. But I do use the social media, and that's how I heard about the news, through Facebook, that people were protesting. I believe it's the 31st or the 3rd, May 30th. It started, and then there was the police violence. That's how I found out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to today. Violence didn't stop. and all the political events. I started to listen to Turkish parliamento, what's going on in there. I never do those things, and I started to really follow the news all day, couldn't sleep. Couple
you still
days
have family back there,
I
right?
do, yeah. My family lives there, and I talked to them about it. My sister went to the to protest every day, and she's fine.
So she's out on the street,
and she's happy to be there and for the cause.
Yeah.
Now, from her perspective, or from your perspective, what? Because the way it started out, it was they were going to tear down a park.
Yes.
So they were protesting that, and then things turned violent.
Right.
So now, is it just, are they fighting the violence, or is it something bigger? Like, from your perspective or your sister's perspective, mm-hmm, out in the street every day, what exactly is the main turn of violence?
Here's my perspective about it. It's,
or protest.
So when the violence began towards people who were protesting against cutting the trees down, which is the one of the couple green spaces in the city, right? And the police responded, because I think they wanted to just stop, and the government wanted to go with the decisions that's made, which is interesting. The prime minister made the decision to put a mall there, and that's not a usually decision a prime minister should make. It's the mayor's job,
right,
to decide. So that, I don't know how the city planning goes and why it happened that way, but a lot of the,
so that would be, just to get my perspective, it would be like President Obama saying, listen, we're going to take Central Park out and we're going to put in a mall.
Yes, exactly.
Which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, it is. And people have been questioning a lot of the decisions that government been making. Another one is about alcohol, for example. Now, a couple months ago, I believe, they put the, I don't know the right word for it. They were going
to... restrictions on...
Yeah, restrictions
when
on...
when you could drink.
Yeah, exactly. After 10 p.m.,
where?
You... stores will not be able to sell alcohol, so you cannot drink after 10 p.m. So, okay, you question this. Do Turkey have any problem with alcoholism specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't this decision put into referendum to public's opinion?
They just made the law without asking people to
exactly.
vote for it.
Exactly. So, okay. So there was a lot of other things that were going on. So people have a tolerance level to certain
sure.
things. So this was just the Gezi Park, Taksim Gezi Park, was the last decision that just pulled everything out and let, you know, people went out there. And as soon as the police started responding in a very harsh way, it started bigger. The resistance from people increased, and today still it's growing and it's growing. The more resistance government shows, the more people are responding to it, but not in a violent way. Of course, there's provoking from
sure.
small groups. They're trying to get them out of the park where they camp today. It's like a music festival. It's a lot of beautiful things are happening, and we see a lot of creative people out there
sure.
that we've never seen. Even in music festivals, we haven't seen those people. Now they're out there camping. It's just a whole other world, and it's just so beautiful. And on the other hand, there's this other people trying to, I guess... on the government side, I don't know what they're doing. I cannot speak for it, but it's just basically not the spirit of the protesters
right.
who originally began, and grow. So
you might have some anarchists or people who are have a whole other political agenda saying like, oh, well, we're going to ride the coattails of this protest and make it about something else.
But there are still small numbers of people, which I've been watching from the videos on Facebook and on two TV channels have been showing, unfortunately, the greatest majority of the TV channels and the press was suppressed, which is not a surprise because it's they're tempted to be on the side of the power.
Sure. I mean, that's what's going to happen. They're going to side with them.
They're not given a choice. They're fined or they're shut down. There's basically a very restricted state right now.
Yeah.
And you should know, like, Turkey as a country has very proud people. They're very friendly. But there's also a history in Turkey of, you know, coups and overthrows and transition. It's a place of transition caught between Asia and Europe. So there's always been change and people taking it over and moving. So there's a lot of history there. So this is like a very unique movement as well because there's, it's not a coup. It's not a violent protest. It's basically people saying we don't want this, but without the need to like overthrow the government and create drastic change. And it's pretty remarkable, actually, when you look at what the prime minister is currently doing. It's causing a kind of division amongst the more liberal, educated, you know, urban in the rest of the country, which is a very large country, which is, you know, more rural. And there's a lot of back and forth between, and we have it in our own country, and sometimes with Christianity, like more traditional and strict and conservative views and the more liberal. So it's that kind of back and forth. You're seeing it right now in Turkey in a new way where there's a push towards traditional values and polling and also a movement forward to make Turkey a modern country, which is involved in the not only economic but social spectrum. So it's pretty powerful movement. I think that's why there's so much energy there right now, because you can feel those critical moments in history where people are pulling back and forth between these two sides, and everybody in the end will somehow, we hope, find a peaceful resolution.
Right. Also, one of the column writers and a journalist in Turkey that I time to time follow because I like his writing, his name is Can Dündar, and he said, they asked him exactly what you first said. It's not like you said, right? The Arab Spring. Mm-hmm. They asked him, what would you call it? There, people are saying it is like the Turkish Spring now.
Right.
I guess we're witnessing. And he said, I would not call it that. He said, I would call it the wind of freedom. And I really like that. And I can add to that, wind of change. Because it's been the current government has been on power for the second, they're running the second term, and in 2 years the next elections are coming. So it's interesting that just right before that this is happening, and the prime minister attitude and approach towards what's going on, towards the protest, is very harsh. And it seems like he kept on saying it's the 50%. I'm barely holding the 50% at home, meaning like not attack back or protest back, get involved to this. Looks like he's just speaking to his 50% and dividing the country into two different strict idea.
Totally.
Yeah. And
I do
that's
think
not a prime minister-like
no,
behavior.
No, it's not. But I think it's a very representative of the world as we know it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there are two sides. And the two sides are the people who have the power that are trying to hold on to it with every ounce of energy they have.
Right.
And the people that are saying that this is not working for us, so we have to change. It's not like it's not working, we're comfortable. It's like we're not working and it's not working and we're dying and we're out of work. We have no money. We can't take care of ourselves. So the people that have that power are holding on to it with their dear lives, and they're doing everything they can to keep it in their grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side is just saying, that's it. We're done. We're completely done.
When we say people, okay, so there is a, I don't know the numbers, but
sure,
there is a great number of people we cannot ignore are not happy about the current decisions. And now they're out there protesting. And on the other side, there are people who are still supporting Erdogan. And so when you look at that picture and you look at the regime, right, democracy, republic, it that's where it gets a little confusing. But I can clearly see if it is 50-50, right, if that 50% who voted and on the side of Erdogan still today, let's say, and if they are the head and shoulders of one country, and the rest is the core and the legs and the hips of the country. So it's a whole body. We
sure
cannot say,
can't
we're
going to
cut
the
this part, exactly, right, and live with this part. It does not function like that. If you want a total functioning country, then you have to see it as a whole and approach it more constructively, not divisive, not destructive.
Right.
And right now, I think the spirit of the protesters there that I'm seeing is that they want to be heard, and they want to, they just want to be freely express what they think and live their dream world, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all have
sure
the right to imagine and make everything possible to make things happen, to be happy and peaceful. I think that's what everybody
no,
wants.
That's
right?
It. Totally.
It sounds good.
The one thing I see that, I mean, living in New York, you've been here for a while, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've watched the Occupy Wall Street type stuff happen.
I did not follow, yes,
but
I
the
walked
idea
through
was
it too, yes,
right,
exactly.
And I don't want, like, Turkey and Spain and all these other countries that are having these same issues where the separation between the haves and the have-nots is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
Right? And that's what I felt the problem was with the Occupy Wall Street, is that they did not have one clear voice as to say, this is what we're trying to accomplish. They were just protesting in the effect of being there and causing an issue for the haves, like causing problems for the haves. So that's the one thing I don't want to see happen as far as like in Turkey. I would love to see them come out and say, this is what we want, and if you do not supply it, then we're going to have to not adhere to your laws.
Right, I clearly hear those, most of the people who are protesting there are below age of 30.
Sure.
Young people, and
right,
Turkey is known with its young population. And they clearly stated yesterday what they want from government.
See, I missed this.
And they said that they will announce who is from this majority of protesters,
so
let's call them the peaceful peacemakers. We're going to listen to us. We're going to announce ourselves if we made any demands, if we heard, got any response, if it's us or if it's somebody else speaking like us to the government or to the authorities.
Interesting. The prime minister wants to talk to somebody. Is that what's happening?
Sorry,
or is he the prime minister? He wants to talk, like try to like quell the whole like problems, or is he just kind of like just saying, "No, listen, we're just going to keep you down."
What he says is that this is what I'm going to do. Decision is already made. You're just a couple of looters.
Chapulcu
is the word these days.
You should tell them about that. There's a term that has been coined. Well, Erdogan said, these people who
just
are protesting.
Just a few Chapulcu is doing that.
There's
looters.
Just a few looters. He referred to the protesters as looters. So go ahead and tell them. So
It turned into a very sympathetic term. Everybody, every protester calls themselves Çapulcuyan. If you look at Facebook names, they're Çapulcu, Olgu, Mirandi, for example. I did not change it, but everybody calls themselves Çapulcu. They made a lot of videos about it. And
so they're taking the idea that they're looters to their embracing it and being like, fine, this is what you want to call us? Well, everybody's going to be one.
And you know what? By doing that, they emptied the meaning of the word. Now it's a sympathetic...
Yeah, they own it. They own the word.
Exactly.
They do the song.
That was one of the other reflections of what they... Yeah. You should check that
Genius.
On YouTube. You'll find it.
Lots
it's
of
so
dance
beautiful.
Videos. Every day on Chuffling.
It's funny. Yeah.
Well, this... I mean, from my opinion, from what I see, it looks like something that they're not going to quell. Unless they, like, shoot everybody. But it looks like a movement that has energy. And it's about something different, and it's like you push people so far, and then they're going to react, and they're going to push back, you know? So
this is happening worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
They're resisting against pushing back the way that they are responding, they meaning the government and the police, which is a governing body. So they are resisting against that. They're trying to keep the peace of the... of the movement and protest that to show that we don't want to bring the government down. That's not what we're interested. We just don't agree with these decisions. These are not right. This is not how we want to live in this country. And that's all about it. And people, I don't know if it's the right word in English to apolitical, being apolitical, like not
sure,
so political.
Sure.
Right. Politics is not so complicated, I notice, after all. And now everybody can analyze the numbers of the governments that we did this and that. Now we know they're not true. Still, the government will run the economy that just like that they've been doing, and the security issues and the other foreign policies that we maybe don't understand or have no interest in it, right? That's their job. But we can speak if their decisions are being made for the people without asking them. Then people will speak for it. They will say, yes, we are here too, and you cannot just go on your own way on this decision. This is not for you to make. I think people are understanding their power. That is not just... I think the government is basically has to understand that they're the servants of people.
Yeah.
It's just a job, and you do not have to be more powerful than, I don't know, an economist or a city cleaner. I don't know. It's just a job, and it's
right
there to serve.
Well, it's the power. The power is information.
Power, it's infectious.
We should not give too much power to government. We should not be afraid. I think that's
we've
what people understood
over.
Through this.
Yeah, we've handed it all over, and then we were pushed too far. I think that's the worldwide epidemic right now, is that we've been pushed too far. The haves have pushed the have-nots too far, and now we're just saying that's enough.
Yeah.
That's it. We can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
I do want to. I don't know how we're gonna segue into a song, but I do want to get. I want to get Jesse playing. He's got the Martin
Light me up.
And the condenser mic ready to roll.
Oh yeah.
And if you're ready, if you can. I'll give a little introduction. He does a little, or you can tell us.
Yeah,
right,
so
you probably know better than I do.
I've been one of my side projects, things that I just love to do, is play music live at a yoga studio. So basically, I'll sit in with a yoga instructor. They'll teach the class, go through the sequence of moves for that class, and I'll kind of sit in the back and play a bunch of songs.
Is it hot yoga?
No,
that's
it gets
good.
Hot though.
Yeah,
sometimes my guitar will go straight out of tune. The room has so much moisture, and that's a pretty amazing day usually. So I play any week. I'll learn new songs. So I don't try to memorize songs. I play a wide swath of, like every week I'll just try to play a bunch of new songs and just bring them to the class. And through this process, I've also been just working on my own music. So it's like all the world of music is just kind of seeping into my own practice. So It's cool. I've been treating yoga like a practice. I have a website.
You should.
JamNYC.com. Yeah. And you can check it out. And I write about playing music in yoga classes. And I have, you know, I've been trying to recruit guest writers, different yoga teachers to write about their connection between movement and music. And it's been a cool, like, side project. I really like thinking about those ideas. So the song was born out of that and is actually appropriate to, you know, the conversation we're having about how do we deal with these issues we see every day. And, like, sometimes it can seem like we have no impact at all on, like, these major events and feel helpless. So this kind of is a reflection on just that Mahatma Gandhi, like, you have to be the change you wish to see in the world. And I think that statement just, you know, it might be overused and, like, it's become this, like, iconic phrase, but it's powerful. I still think that those words carry.
Where are my chips?
I took them away from you because you were chipping chips when she was talking about her serious turkey, which is why
chips.
We're on two different levels.
All right, so give us what's the name of this
song? So this is called The Agent of the Positive.
I love it.
So let me get situated here. Sorry about that. So much trouble in the world today. Don't even know what I wanna say. I've got to be the change I wish to see in this. Always saying what I wanna do. Nothing stopping me from pulling through. I got to be the change I wish to see in this world. I got to be the change I wish to see. Hard luck in the hardest of times, but love lies even darkest of crimes. We get victimized, but we never stand up and own it like we know it. We'll lift us up at the end of the day. You can hope and pray, but you'll never find strength if you don't believe, if you don't bleed. It's the only strength that you'll ever need. Just plant that thought in the ground, shout it out. What a powerful sound, there's plenty of this to go round. This is a moment, I'll turn it down. Plant that thought in the ground. Heart turning down, so much love to go round. This is the moment, don't turn it down. This is my life, my time, my love, my rhyme, my opportunity to stand up in my prime. Every breath, every breeze, every moment that you see is an agent of the positive. It's filled with possibilities, so look in your heart again. Never look back again, start in the center and work your way out again. Counting the one thing that you were determining, balancing, practicing constantly, constantly circling. Plant that thought in the ground, shout it out. What a powerful sound, there's plenty of this to go round. This is a moment, I'll turn it down. And plant that thought in the ground, shout it out. What a powerful sound, there's plenty of this to go round. This is the moment, don't turn it down. I got to be, oh, the change I wish to see. I got to be, oh, the change I wish to see. I've got to be, oh, the change I wish to see. I got to be, oh, the change I wish to see.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you, sir.
Jeez.
And it did go well with the conversation. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a vague term, but it was right on. Oh, right on. I love it.
It's not bad. I will say, I don't know if this is true or not, but these might be the smartest people we've ever had on our show.
It's true. Including us.
Including us. Including us. It was called Changing the Positive?
Agent of the Positive. I was just thinking about being the agent.
Yeah,
being
sure.
The,
spreading it.
Yeah,
spreading the positive.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like this. I do like this idea. I think this is beautiful. This is, we were deciding whether we're going to have the show on the inside or the outside. We said, no, it's beautiful. Let's go on the outside.
It is beautiful.
Let's think positive. Let's create change.
Change on the outside.
Change on the outside. I am a firm believer. Not the, you know.
Like plastic surgery. You know, right. Those are the kind of changes that last.
There you go. I'm taking these chips away from you. So recently, the Tonys, little theater news here, Kinky Boots, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a story. Cyndi Lauper, you know, did the music for it. Harvey Firestone, all these guys. But basically, the message of the show was change your mind, change the world. Wait, was that it? Or I forget what there was. There was a lyric in the show that was like, you know, one person. It was basically about tolerance and, you know, gay rights and just kind of like, listen, everybody's different. We're all created this way or formed this way or whatever you believe in. So, like, accept people for who they are. And as long as they're not hurting you in any way, let them be and let them do their thing. You know, I think that's
Cyndi Lauper was always wise.
Yeah,
I think. You know, in all of her writing and music, she's...
Girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, you know, but still, like, let me just have my fun. Yeah.
Sure.
I like that.
I get what
you're saying. Even in its simplicity.
I don't know if I'd call it wise, but there is a certain level of independence and...
Yeah, she must have been... She was young.
She was really young, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, one of our guests on our show, Andy Kelso, he's actually in that show, and he was on our show... Months or years ago. Long time ago. And he won a Tony the other night. So I saw
he won a Tony?
He won a Tony, yeah. Not him, excuse me, personally, but the cast.
The cast.
So he doesn't have a Tony at home.
It doesn't matter. It's all the same.
I was excited. I was like, let's see this Tony. Let's hang out with the Tony. Let's go to drinks with the Tony.
No. I don't know if he has it personally.
Maybe they'll pass it around.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like the Stanley Cup. Like every cast
everybody gets a kiss.
I think if there's like 40 cast members, they can't make 40 Tonys for each cast member. You know.
Why not?
Because they're expensive.
Everybody gets a tongue kiss from Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. I tell you, he's a good host.
Yeah.
He's excellent.
If you want to see dancing and singing.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see.
I don't
want to
see dancing and singing.
Then don't watch the Tonys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I think he's a perfect host for the Tonys. I don't think that would be a good host for the Oscars.
What about the Dave and Giggles?
He would be I am encouraging Neil Patrick Harris, NPH, to come on our show.
Yeah.
He might. He's a little busy.
He's a little busy.
Start small. So let's get into a little bit of, because this is a current topic. It's hot topic. Government spying. You're a web guy. Are you just a web guy or you're like a computer guy? You like?
Yeah, I do. I design a little bit of everything. Web. I do some design. I do some back-end stuff, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, project management, but I'll keep on the pulse of technology.
So you know what's everybody knows what's going on here. I'm not sure if you followed this, but it's basically everybody's all up in arms, everybody's suing everybody because the Department of Justice and the FBI and NSA, they're spying on people.
Spying
on people, but they've been doing this for years.
Sure. Yeah.
And I heard something that was like, you gotta know that when you have a phone or you have an iPad or the internet, you know that when you send that email that people can send it on to other people and it gets recorded by the Google servers. So there's really no sense of privacy.
Everything we do is out there.
It's out there.
It's out there.
Yeah, privacy is an illusion. You know, it's never, you know, it's probably never been easier for the government to spy on us than now, but I don't think I write an email or make a phone call that I don't think, you know, well, that could be recorded. I think if you are, like you said, using those devices, you're pretty much, you know, signing away that anything you do can be recorded. And so every email is obviously, it's come up in many court cases, and all that you think's private there is all of a sudden, like, on the docket for a, you know, criminal case, you know. So those things aren't private, any email, any post, anything. So, you know, I try to live right, so I'm hoping that I don't ever fall into that, you know, but into a situation where I could be criminally, like, investigated.
Yeah.
However, I read a great opinion, and I'm, you know, I'm going to flail on who wrote it, but they...
We paraphrase a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to paraphrase very liberally, but they said, you know, the danger is that maybe not right now, but over time in building an exponentially growing database of conversations and emails and communications that at a certain time, if somebody needed to find something, there's a huge accessible resource of a way to frame you in, yeah, in a light that you might not, that might, you know, go against you and jeopardize your freedom, or, you know, even worse, you know. So what we see in Turkey is a good example. You know, they're very, several people in one of the Turkish cities were arrested for posting police locations on Twitter. And you can see, like, you think Twitter is a social media and you're using it with your friends, and then all of a sudden you're arrested, you know. And it's, so there's, on that level, very obviously a danger. But in, you know, over time, depend, you know, different organizations, the politics change, the political power changes, and then you never know when you're on the wrong side of that. So there's a real danger, and it's good that it was exposed. That guy,
Snowden
went out and,
on a limb.
I mean, that's heroic, really. I mean, he just was like, I'm going to give up my life because I think this is morally
he
wrong.
Said that he felt obligated. He said over time, if, you know, he said any person with compassion who saw this happening would have a hard time turning a blind eye to what he was watching.
Yeah.
And he couldn't, he said to himself, I can't take this anymore. I can't sit here silently. And so it's an interesting case, you know,
really is
for somebody to stand out.
I mean, into it from the moment he came out. It's really fascinating. I also found it interesting where he started really young, because he's only 29 now, but he started really young, and he was in it when George W. Bush was president, and he saw things happening that he didn't approve of. And when Obama came in, he was like, all right, maybe this will be changed. And then he's like, just got worse.
Yeah.
It just got worse. So he was fed up.
Well, the thing that's a little scary, and just for listeners who may, I mean, I don't know if any, I ask people about this and they're like, oh, what? And I was like, don't you watch the news? But if anybody's listening to this and they don't know what's happening, I think the idea that's really scary is this whole pre-crime thing, notion that they're going to, of people like arresting people for things that they haven't done yet, but they're
Precogs.
Thinking about, you know,
like the minority,
like minority report.
Precogs.
But if
Tom Cruise,
I'm sure you guys know about this, but out in Utah, they're building this huge $1 billion, $2 billion, $4 billion data center, which they're keeping everything. So it's a huge, I mean, you know about this,
no,
right?
I was going to say, I thought you know, we do have a couple precogs out on our balcony here.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, just we go to them randomly for different advices around the day. No, yeah, I mean, with storage has gotten so easy, and to store audio, video is incredibly easy, and you can buy yourself a terabyte of storage like that, you know.
Like
that used to be a wing of a building, you know.
Right.
So right now, you know, it's only going to be easier and easier, and, you know, the Intel doesn't stop making chips.
No.
Everyone's going to have their own chip from the moment they're born to the end.
Yeah, so, you know.
They die.
Well, I look at my phone and I'm just like, I remember when computers came out and, you know, a 54 megabyte computer was a big deal, you know, on a floppy disk. And now
huge. My
phone has a faster processor than a computer 10 years ago. It's got a camera. It's got everything, you know, and it's just.
It's a computer.
It's crazy. I mean, are we going to, you know, I don't want to sound like, are we going to go cyborg? Are we going to go, like, where
plant that
stop?
Chip in my brain, you know?
Well, you see it in Turkey. They everybody, and you saw it in Occupy Wall Street, and those devices have become the powerful regulator. It's something that I was reading about. There's surveillance, which is the government watching us, and the sur is a French, sur is on, like, but there's, somebody came up with the term surveillance, which is like undervalence, which is basically the people regulating back, right? So as much as there's cameras all over in the street watching us down, we all have cameras and have that power. And you can see how it's put to use when people are getting shelled. That girl got the pepper spray right in her face.
Oh, yeah, I saw
and
that.
And blew her hair up. And right, that like instantly is an iconic image that just was taken by somebody on the street, instantly available, distributed, and has impact. And so that little device is a game changer in a way for the, you know, the you and me and everybody else who typically doesn't have a voice. And
that's
we can
true.
Reach If you have followers on Twitter, if people connected to people on Facebook, that picture reaches everybody.
The amazing thing is that power of distribution of where the people in power don't want those, like, they want to be able to look at everyone, but they don't want everyone to look at them. Like, for instance, the fact that videotaping an officer has become illegal in many states.
Yeah, a lot of states.
A lot of states. You can't videotape, even though they're videotaping you, and whatever you're videotaping can be used against them and all that stuff. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me.
And, you know, police units in New York City now have people filming all of their, like, all their movements against Occupy Wall Street. They had camera guys that are just there to make sure that there's a viewpoint from their end, so that when, you know, somebody edits a video back in iMovie and, like, cuts out the interaction before that leads to the guy getting tackled and his nose bloodied, you know, it's a different, they have to watch their back
they
too
do.
So it's a back and forth. It's pretty interesting.
It is
crazy. Do we can we segue that into another song? I mean, you gotta
I do want to hear
he's got the guitar.
He's
out there. He's,
what do you want to hear, a cover song, or do you want to hear an original? What do you like?
It's really your choice, man. You know, you're the guy with the Dave is also, I mean, a shameless plug for Dave. Dave also plays guitar.
I heard him out here. Was that Fish?
This isn't about
playing?
Me. It's not about
I
you.
Was playing Fish before.
That's beautiful.
And I do want to get into Cold Spring and the Mirandy Clan and all those
The Mirandy Clan.
Those guys. I mean, how we know each other. It's, we go way back.
Way back. It
way
sounds
back.
Yeah,
interesting.
Crazy.
Way back.
Well, let me see. What's a good What do you want to hear, Olga? Anything?
Mm. Yeah, I told you I want to hear the Daft Punk.
Daft
Punk.
That's hot right now.
They are really hot right now. They're really big right now.
I could give you that. I could do that. It's a... You know, something I was thinking about with music is back in the day, you used to get an album, right? And it was like your go-to album for the summer. And that was your summer album. And I was thinking today, people have like their go-to week of the summer song now.
Sure.
It's like, doesn't have the same.
What is the summer song? Has there been a summer song yet?
Yeah, we're rocking. This is one of them, I would say. If I can find it.
All right, so Dave and Giggles announcing... The summer song.
The summer song.
This is going to be the summer song.
So Daft Punk are these two dudes from France.
They've been around for a while,
right? They've been around for a while. They're nothing new, I guess.
They kind of look like robots.
Yeah, they kind of got a robot look. And some people hate their guts. I don't know exactly why. They just think the whole costume thing.
Well, the internet's full of trolls. You know, everyone's a critic.
Just don't show their faces.
Sure. Neither does many people. Many bands.
Mouse Rat. What's his name?
Yeah, Mouse Rat. I'm going to go with Mouse Rat. Dead Mouse 5.
Dead Mouse. That dude's got a sweet helmet, too.
He does.
So the moral of this summer song is get a helmet.
Mouse Rat.
Yeah. All right, let's see what I can... It's been a little while. Bear with me, and I'll get right
into
it.
Don't blow the summer song.
Yeah, don't
blow
the summer song.
And I do have to warn you, you are being recorded right now.
Yeah. I got no light out here, is my problem.
This is surveillance right here.
Surveil me. You know, if you want to sound smart, just put a French word into your surveillance.
He's dropping a lot of like doctoral terms our way.
Sure.
You know, like, oh, it's French for this. And
it looks pretty amazing. You got the headlamp on and the headphones.
Here. Yeah, this is my.
You kind of look like a robot. I'm going with it. This is the summer song, and he's dressed up as a robot.
Here,
you look like kind of like a cyborg.
Let me put on something more appropriate.
Isn't there a red one on that? There you go.
My headlamp's flashing right now. It's a little bit seizure-inducing.
There we go. Everybody's happy.
Legend of the Phoenix. All ends with the beginning. Yeah. Keeps the planet spinning. The force from the beginning. Oh, we come too far to give up. Yeah, who we are. to the stars. She's up on that to the sun. I'm up on that to get some. She's up on that for good fun. I'm up on that to get lucky. We're up on that to the sun. We're up on that to get some. We're up on that for good fun. We're up on that to get lucky. 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 Present has no rhythm. Ooh, your gift keeps on giving. Yeah, yeah. What is this I'm feeling? What is this? If you want it, I'm living. I'll live with you. Yeah, 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 yeah. We've come too far to give up that, yeah, who we are. So let's raise the bar and lift our cups to the stars. She's up on that to the sun. I'm up on that to get some. I'm up on that for good fun. We're up on that to get lucky. We're up on that to the sun. We're up on that to get fun. We're up on that to get some. We're up on that to get lucky. We're up on that to get lucky. We're up on that to get lucky. We're up all night. Who's going home with who? Who's going home with who? Who's gonna? Who's gonna get lucky? Ba da ba ba, ba da ba ba, ba da ba ba, da 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 da. The summer jam of
2013.
Oof. I remember like changing the date on my paper till 1990. When it was 89 to 90, I was like, oh my God, it's the 90s.
You were like 7 years old.
Yeah, but it was a big thing because you had to date your paper every day in school. Mm-hmm. So like that was Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
What was your summer of love? I would say my summer of love was 98.
Why don't you just ask yourself that question?
Yeah, I was just saying. But my summer of love was the summer where it was just, there's not one responsibility in your life, and it was just living to the full extent.
Wow. Well, you know, I've been trying to generate an outlook of like every summer is my summer of love.
That's a way to do it.
Good answer.
I mean, because I'm feeling you, and like college was great, like very free and sure, like do whatever I want, but it was also a lot of bullshit, you know, and we're learning and we're trying things out, and like now, you know, as we get older, we see different perspectives, and so love takes on different meaning. So it's a cool,
that's,
I like
a good point.
I like the question, sure, like, yeah, what is that love that you're feeling in the, sure, summer? But the temperature gets up, we can get outside, make some magic happen. What's on your agenda?
All right, what's the big plans for the summer with you guys? What is going to be the big epic?
No plans yet.
That is
epic. We are thinking about a trip to Turkey, but yeah, new things are happening, yeah, in our lives. Jesse is very busy with his project, and I am thinking about maybe doing a yoga certification. That's something I've been thinking about a lot.
So you do the yoga.
We might just stay here and do a winter vacation to a summer destination.
That sounds like
that idea.
We haven't done that, and that's another thing. So we'll see. Nice. We haven't planned yet, but we have ideas.
Well, so you were telling me before the show that you do Pilates.
Or you're a Pilates instructor. I'm a personal trainer, yes, and I'm a Pilates instructor, yes.
Certified Pilates instructor.
Yes, certified.
Because you need to be certified.
Both
you
are certified.
Yeah.
Must get, yes.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you tell someone who's never done Pilates before for their first, like, session? Would you be like, all right, we're going to make you stretch into a pretzel today? Is that what's happening?
No, exactly, but that's a good joke. Exactly not that.
He needed that.
It's true.
I would ask questions first and get find out what their interests, why did they think they should do Pilates, and just start to move them, just move their body.
Yeah. And doesn't Pilates mean to lengthen? Am I wrong? Am I right?
No. It, Pilates is just Joseph Pilates' last name.
I don't know.
He developed this method.
It means to lengthen.
Pi.
I'm going to get so Pilates tonight.
Or lengthen.
Have you thought about baby Pilates? Because I know a baby that could really use some Pilates. Yeah.
There's these machines in Pilates that would be really dangerous for babies.
Machines in Pilates?
Oh, yeah. and one machine is called Reformer and the other one is called the Cadillac.
I've never, know nothing
about
Pilates.
They started to do tower, you know, different brands on different versions of it. They have been making convertible machines also. Yeah,
you should tell them about the essence of Pilates. Like what it is.
It was built to. So the system itself is helps you your physical body to with flexibility, strength, core strength mostly. It's based on core strength because my understanding is the center core is the center of
what
the
if you're
body,
looking at
the
just
rest
like pinky
is just
strength.
The movers. Pinky strength.
Yeah, just pink. Yeah. I just want pinky strength.
It gets into the very small muscles and the large muscle groups in the body. So it's
so can there you go. Be,
you can get,
really can get
a total body workout, but
yeah,
it was
pinky
built
included.
To help people who are injured for the machines, especially in hospital beds that cannot walk or go anywhere, but they need to strengthen their body. So a lot of people can get benefits from that system that Joseph Pilates developed.
It's interesting. I did a Pilates shoot. A friend of mine has a Pilates studio, and she hired me to do a shoot for her website. And I kind of, I don't want to say missed the mark, but I missed the mark. It was one of those shoots that I was like, oh, so I didn't really capture the photos of what she was, trying to, because there was a lot going on with the whole machines and it's all about lines and form and like
these look like torture devices.
They do look like torture devices.
The one is like a rowing machine, which has coils, springs that create resistance.
These look like torture machines. Yeah.
Jesse explains it better than I do.
That's
because
you do it.
Marketer.
You know?
I market ideas,
I
but...
I just explain things. I'm the explainer in the relationship.
So
really.
I do want to find out, how did you guys, because I don't know this personally, but how did you guys meet? What is the what's the love story behind this? Because it's not an internet. You guys aren't an internet dating site.
No. It was unsuccessful because I think in life you... some people find love there. That's great online, and that's, you know, all the power to them. But I definitely feel like making those connections out in the world is beautiful. And so this was random as could be, which fulfills my idea of, like, that's how perfect love should happen. You
summer
know,
love.
It was actually fall love. And
fall love. That's the best kind of love.
We're falling in love.
It's true.
Well, we have a mutual friend. We have... each have a friend who are friends, and so my good friend Larry Siegel.
Oh yeah, I know Larry.
Who you may know of.
I may know him.
He should be on the show at some
point.
Cause he could tell you all about summer camps like nobody. But, you know, he could
get
tell
him
you
on the show.
So anyway, and her friend Leslie are good friends.
Me.
So we both got invited to go to Brooklyn Bowl one day, and we were bowling and. You know, I saw Olga.
For like $70
like,
an hour over there.
So it's reasonable, but
relatively.
Her boyfriend is a musician, so we had free bowling. Even better, right?
Nice.
So we, her, you know, you type in your screen name, right? And hers was Turkish Delight. So good, right? Oh,
it's getting hot.
And I was just like looking over at her, and she's so beautiful. And I just was like, afterwards, I was like, we talked.
Who's that Turkish Delight?
And I said to Leslie, I was like, so, you know, I would love to, like, get in contact with Olga. And she was like, yeah, you should. And so.
Isn't that the best when they're like, she's single?
Yeah.
You know,
like,
it was like,
oh, what?
God, that's like, that's
not right.
That's the biggest hurdle.
How's that happen?
Yeah.
So we went out on a date. We went to dinner, and then we
went
to... Wait,
you
missed...
he took his first Pilates session with me. What? How brave is that?
Whoa. Yeah. So
I was
that's ballsy, bro.
I was instructing the class that night, and I told him, this is the time I finish It was a Friday. This is the time I finish work. I have this class at 6 p.m. And he said, and I told him, if you like, you can come.
Would you have done it if you weren't trying to impress her?
I don't think so. I was into yoga.
Very comfortable.
I was into yoga already, and I liked doing that practice. So, like, it made sense to try it, but I never had – it just never presented itself. And this was like – those machines are a little
– torturous.
No, they're just a little – taking. They get a little – it takes getting used to. They are a little awkward because you don't know the machines.
They are very intelligent machines, I would say.
Yeah, but you do have to get to know them.
Yeah,
intelligent torture.
Exactly.
It's a tool.
Because you can't wrap your mind around it just by looking at it. You ask first, what do I do with it? Yeah. How do I use it? Because there are many ways of using that machine. So
Olgu is a great teacher.
That scares people
makes you
sometimes.
Feel really comfortable and
especially
safe,
when you're trying to quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
what did you wear? I
want
to know what you wore, because that's always big. Like,
typically, like in a workout, I'll wear
running
like
outfit.
A banana hammock, like
some Umbros with spandex under it.
Yeah, like some spandex shorts.
Top it off
with
some Oakleys. There you go. Everything's coming together.
And I typically use like a cod piece. I think that's important for
you
first
gotta.
Dates.
You should.
You know? So, you know, we went out to a movie. We had dinner. Yeah. It was really beautiful.
What
we
was the movie you saw?
Where the Wild Things.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. So underrated movie. Love
underrated
that movie.
Movie, but we enjoyed it. We had a great time. And then afterwards, Olgu turned to me and said, you know, I don't want to drink anymore, and I'm ready to go home. Do you want to come with me?
Oh,
and like
snap.
It was basically like the dream
Whoa.
Date. And we had never left
this is getting
each other.
Heavy.
We never left each other's side
yeah,
from that day on.
Yeah, we just didn't want to let go of
yeah.
each other,
oh, that's
I guess.
Beautiful.
But not holding so tightly.
Yeah.
Right.
We were just having great time. Yeah. And why yeah. and we were both comfortable of saying, you know, not playing any games like
yeah.
does he want to see me again
yeah.
or
he,
I didn't
nice.
Feel
it
the
was
same
game
thing
free.
From
it was great.
him. So it was very, very easy and very yeah. beautiful. So
it's nice when it works
that's
out that
yeah.
way.
That's
there it is.
It.
For you too, right, Mike?
And I was
mean,
ready
yeah.
to go
yeah.
back to Turkey. I came here to do my master's degree, and I met him 2 months before I finished it. And then, since we were having a great time, I extended it by applying for work visa. After you graduate as an international student, you can apply for a work visa and work in a related field for 1 year. So that's what I did, and he
there
that summer,
yeah.
summer
he
love.
Came to
yeah.
with me to nice. Turkey and his brother, and we
amazing
had great
country.
10 days there, and I realized how important it was for me to really introduce him to yeah. my family and
getting
friends, and that
yeah.
changed a
hot.
Lot of things that, like, before I went there,
my
I did not
there
think
less
about
hot.
This.
No, you're like, Kyle, take a walk. Go get some Turkish delight of your own.
We did a whirlwind tour of Turkey that year, too.
Yeah,
and so I got to see a lot of the country, including some of the very amazing, like, Roman and Greek ruins and
nice.
All of the...
And, but they're
yeah,
not
the
really ruins because they're still intact.
Some of them are just mind-blowing. And,
yeah.
and throughout the country, it was like... Every part of the country you drove to, there was a different, like, food out on, like, the highway. So, like, as you drove, if you had, like, collected the food when we went around, like, olives, peaches, apples, melons,
pomegranate.
It was, like, nonstop. It was, like, a magical experience.
I'm starting to get hungry.
The people of Turkey are really generous and beautiful people.
Where's my chips?
It's such a great place to be.
They took his chips away.
You know, they also have a lot of different interesting food for the food buffs, too. And one of our friends, the next time we came out, saw an Anthony Bourdain show, our friend Mark Eckel.
Oh, I know Eckel.
Yeah, you know Eckel. All these stories, you
yeah,
know everybody.
I do know everybody.
So Eckel was like, I have to go to this kebab place in the middle of nowhere. I saw it on Anthony Bourdain, and so we sought out the kebab place.
It's actually near Taksim. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was near the protest site. Yeah.
It is.
There's
right
all
there.
This. There's Taksim Square is connected to a huge promenade of stores and restaurants, and then there's a whole section of that promenade that includes like all these restaurants and bars. It's pretty amazing, like public space. So one of the reasons like Taksim Square is like, so like it's a gathering place. It always has been a gathering place. But that little park is like. It's all stores and basically stores and like development. So that little green space does have importance. So you can see why like Like, we have this park and we have little green spaces all over, but there it's an old city and like every
square
piece of the grid has been filled
up.
In. And
sure.
Like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And like,
you need some space. You need some space to be able to.
The foresight of the people to drop down Central Park. Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Well, this is, I think we're almost at that time.
Sure.
I think we can maybe, if it's, well, it's 11:30.
Did you want to know about Cold Spring before?
I'm
just kidding.
We can get into Cold Spring on the next one. It's 11:30. Is it too late to play us out, or should we?
I can play us out. No, it's fine.
Something quiet?
It's I got a quiet song.
He's got a quiet song.
He's got a quiet song.
He's going to play us out, and then you can do your outro and all your other stuff.
We're going to go out with the Song of the Summer.
Yeah, Song of the Summer.
This is a different song.
I do want to thank Jesse and Olgu for coming on our show.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Thank
we're actually
for
having us on
having
their
us.
Show because we're at their place.
This
which is
beautiful. I don't think I'm going to leave.
It might be like your love story. We might just not leave.
Yeah, we might just be part of your love story.
Post recording time.
Yeah.
We'll kick it.
We have a blow up.
Yeah, we're going
to... Sound hot again.
We're going to have a tent village out on our balcony.
That'd be great.
We'll throw up a tent. You can sleep over. I don't know. This song's called Bedtime Story. It's another song I wrote. And this is the song I wrote for Olgu. Just talking about lovers telling stories. So
hot.
Yeah. Bedtime Story. Shh. Get less hot. Come on, darling, tell me a tale before I close my eyes about true love on distant shores by the light of the full moon rise, by the light of the fireflies. Tell me how those lovers met. The song fills the air. Something sweet I'll always remember. A song of the heart laid bare. A song so sweet and fair. Lovers have to part and all looks hopeless and dark. Tell me how they meet again and mend their broken hearts. And mend their broken hearts. Hearts, am I dreaming? Hearts, I'm floating. As I drift in the dreams of love, oh, hold me in your arms so I can feel the rise of your chest, my love, and know that these stories are ours. Know the stories are ours. Am I dreaming? I'm floating on.
What is this? I'm to
lucky. We're up all night to get 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 lucky.
We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
To get lucky.